This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, and welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, August 3rd, 2017. I'm Eric, he's Tristan, and we're previewing another big weekend. This is the first weekend of August, Tristan. And, you know, now it's kind of crunch time. Now we're looking at the standings every day, as long as we're competitive in the league, right? Now we're thinking about, like, I have a league where I have a shot to win, and I'm thinking about every move, all the money I have in Fab. You know, like, now it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Are you counting categories yet?
No, what do you mean by counting categories? Like,
I'm in my roto leagues, I'm trying to finagle some of the categories to see where I can gain the most points. I've gotten pretty nitty gritty in that the past.
Well, you know, you're always doing that, but like.
But really, really heavy duty now. You've got, because I mean, at this point, if you're not addressing any sort of the shortcomings, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, but you know what's weird? Like, I have a league where I have a shot. And I thought, oh, I'm safe in, you know, an ERA. And then a couple blow-ups later, and I dropped four spots. So it's like, things really changed fast. You know, one good Manuel Margot week last week, and I picked up all these spots and homers I didn't expect to pick up. And it's like, would you, of course you'd rather be up five in first than minus five in second. But you know how, like, fleeting that is?
Yeah.
It changes every day.
I'm thinking about three in particular. I'm thinking about stolen bases. I'm thinking about saves. And I'm thinking about pitcher strikeouts. Because I think those are the ones where it's kind of... The standings have probably crystallized, and you have an idea how much ground you can make up. I just made a trade in Tout Wars where I picked up D. Gordon just to address stolen bases because I saw an opportunity to pick up five spots in the standings. Those are the kind of decisions that I think come into picture now.
I need to do something like that in NL labor, but it's going to be hard to get stolen bases. Like, that's a category that could go either way.
You got the big prize coming to you Sunday, though.
I don't know if I do.
You don't control the board?
Well, what does that mean? I have the most money in Fab today.
Then you control the board.
I want to wait and see if I get him or not.
Well,
okay?
If you control the board, how are you not getting him?
Because controlling the board doesn't mean what I think it means. Like, you controlled the board in Tout last week, didn't you?
No, until, I did not.
Until
no way.
Somebody made a trade and picked up money.
But you can't make trades for Fab in labor. You can in Tout Wars.
I'm actually purposely not reaching out to the commissioner, who's the guy I'm competing with. He's one of my better friends, because I don't want to, like, disrupt the fantasy gods here.
You're good. You're all good.
I'm
trust me.
I'm playing it safe.
I never jinx anything.
I'm probably going to finish second again, but, you know, I just want to just take it day by day. How
you
about
gotta,
that?
But you're the guy who says know your rule set. You know the rules. In
of
labor,
course I
you
do,
can't
but
trade. You
I,
control the board.
I think that's the case.
By the way, you were right. I did control the board in Tout Wars last week because the rule says you can't use new traded Fab until the following scoring period. So I controlled the board. If Darvish gets traded on Sunday, well, actually, I would have had to get traded on Saturday based on the rules in that league, but I don't today.
Well, we'll see what happens, and we can discuss next week. Let's get along to the buzz. All right, we have a lot to get to on today's packed show, and some of it even has something to do with fantasy baseball. So final thoughts from you, Tristan, on the Monday trades that happened after our last show. Obviously, you, Darvish, got moved at like 4:10 p.m. Eastern time. That's a huge deal in leagues. Like, in my NL-only league, that could be the difference maker. Well, of course, then again, if he pitches poorly, it might not be. So I'm kind of on the fence. I'm going to go after him.
Yeah.
But
you have to.
I have to. But, like, if his ERA is 4:10 the rest of the way, like it is now, he could cost me the title. So your thoughts on Darvish? Obviously, I think his value moves up a little bit. And can you remember anyone else who traded after our show? I think LaCroix was before.
Brandon Kinsler went to the Nationals.
We'll get to a closer carousel a little bit later. I guess Darvish is the big name. I mean, that guy is going to win or lose leagues for people, right?
I think so, yes. Especially in the situation where you're in an NL-only league and you control the Fab board. I don't know anybody like that. You must bid, at the very least, the maximum of the next highest guy that can outbid you in this stuff. I mean, this is the player who you spend the top waiver position on, and it's a great situation for him. Let's not, you know, discount this idea that he's going from Texas to L.A. That's a huge ballpark bump. And he's a strikeout-oriented pitcher now being dropped in the National League West, which is a pretty strikeout-prone division with the exception of the Giants. And he picks up the pitcher instead of the DH in the majority of the rest of his starts. I'd be stunned if his ERA is even close to four.
I would, too. And I'd rather have Darvish and Quintana, who went to the Cubs. But they're both two top 20 guys. Ranking should be updated today, by the way.
Interestingly, though, Quintana might have more fantasy value with him in the than him in the National League this year.
Might be.
Because of the additional time.
And it was just so interesting down the stretch when it came to how to use your waiver position, how to use your fab dollars. And, you know, like, and by the way, the trade deadline in ESPN leagues, Kyle Monster, I assume you're here. I believe it's Friday, tomorrow at noon Eastern time. It doesn't really say a time there, but do you have an update on that? Maybe you can get us an update on that. I'm pretty sure it's the first Friday of August. It says that. Doesn't say a time, though.
Usually it's 12 Eastern.
Usually it's noon Eastern. So you're running out of time here. I wrote about it today in the closer report. I would love to sell closers. Like, just because I think there's like literally a third of the current closers in baseball right now are sitting there in free agency in like two-thirds of ESPN leagues. Let's do a quick closer carousel.
The closer carousel.
We did miss a big trade.
What?
We'll get to it.
Well, let's go back. I don't want to miss.
No. Let's do the closers because I think that was the big shakeup at the deadline, don't you?
Closers. Well, I mean, Detroit and Minnesota and Miami, they all changed closers.
And Washington and the Mets.
Washington didn't. I mean, Doolittle was a couple weeks ago. Doolittle's still their closer. It's not Kinsler.
No, I disagree with you there.
I think Kinsler's going to be their closer?
I think there is an excellent chance that he could be the closer, but you've got to take the coin out and flip it as of today. The only reason we haven't gotten a read yet is because the Nationals haven't had an opportunity with Kinsler on the active roster.
They have to know his strikeout rate makes him a setup man, don't they? I think
of these guys has a great level of experience that Dusty could draw off, so we have no right here to make
Madsen
any specific
does.
Judgment.
Madsen has the most experience. He has 230 save seasons, including in the same division.
He's the least talented of the three, and he hasn't been getting any chances, really.
You think he's less talented than Kinsler? You know,
yes.
Kinsler's just kind of ordinary, Tristan. All right.
I think he's ordinary, too, but he's had a good year and a half.
I'd rather have Shane Green, frankly, than any of the Washington. Shane Green looks like he could be a closer for a while to me.
I got to watch a good amount of Shane Green, even after that lengthy rain delay. And yeah, he looks good. I think that's going to be your sneaky little saves guy based on the trades of the deadline.
And by the way, I mean, Shane Green could get as many saves as Greg Howe in the final 2 months.
And the other thing, too, is look at him in contrasting to Kinsler and a guy like Brad Ziegler, who takes over in Miami, is that I think there's a better chance Green gets Ks, and I think it's going to be a noticeable amount more. That makes a big difference.
I do. I agree with you there. Atlanta finally switched up. Jim Johnson out. Arodis Vizcaino in. I have Johnson in labor. That's going to hurt. But I also have Trevor Rosenthal, who's now St. Louis's closer. It's just incredible how many closers situations have changed in the last 2 weeks, and this is what I'm telling you.
Yep.
I mean, it's not a good day to trade Greg Holland because he has the finger injury from a kitchen accident.
Yep.
And so, you know, as soon as somebody reads that, they're going to be like, oh, you think he's going on the DL. You can't, you know, I'm not trading for him. But, I mean, trade away Kelvin Herrera for a good bat or a good starter and just pick up Arodis Vizcaino. They're probably going to get the same amount of saves. And you say, oh, one's on a good team, one's on a bad. Doesn't work that way. Never does. There's a lot of Matt Belisle was warming up for Minnesota yesterday in the ninth inning in a 5-2 game. Irvin Santana just found a way to put nobody on base and finish the game out. He got the complete game. But, man, all these closer situations changing. I mean, you just can't – it's so easy right now to find a closer.
It is, but I also want to throw the counterpoint here that I think that the top 15 closer situations in the majors are a cut above. And, I mean, I think a pretty darn noticeable cut above the bottom 15.
They might be.
But Eric, to your point, there's a lot of volume of available saves, and if you just take some flyers, you can really patch this together. So the same point we've been making for years still is relevant. It's just
absolutely.
I think those top guys are pretty good. Like Brad Hand. Brad Hand now looks fantastic. Felipe Rivero now looks fantastic. Rosenthal now looks fantastic. Wouldn't you
right.
say?
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. But like, if you go into Roberto Osuna and somebody really wants him, just trade him away. I don't even know if he's going to be better than Matt Belisle the final 2 months.
I'll challenge you.
Look
there.
At the ERA and whip.
But it's Belisle.
What does that mean?
First of all, the Twins aren't. I mean, yeah, okay. To team's competitiveness, I don't want to use that as the crutch argument here. But Belisle.
I know.
He hasn't had a save
in 4 years or 5 years, and he might be terrible, and he might not even be their guy. It might be Taylor Rogers or someone else. But
or
my
Hilton
point is
Berger.
Take a shot on a couple of these guys It's a smart move. By the way, Andrew Miller on the disabled list. Yeah. I've got Cody Allen ranked well above Andrew Miller, and I have. Maybe he's back in 10 days. Maybe he's not back till September. I don't really know for sure. It's just he's got two saves. You know, it's like owning Betances. He's got two saves. I don't want this guy on my team. Like, I can't justify owning a guy in my bullpen who's not getting saves, and that includes Davinsky at this point, who's giving up a homer every day, when there are guys actually getting saves out there. I can't do it.
Davinsky has cooled. I feel like the Astros did not pick up a lot of guys to help ease the workload on him, so I'm a little bit worried he doesn't snap back to those first 2-3 months where he was dominant.
All fair thoughts, you know, and something to watch here. By the way, Lyft knows their drivers are what keep them moving, so they do everything they can to make sure their drivers are happy on every trip. It's a simple formula. Happy drivers mean happy passengers, and maybe that's why 9 out of 10 Lyft rides get a perfect 5-star rating. You can earn hundreds of dollars a week plus tips. Want to earn more money? Drive more. It's never been easier to give yourself a raise. Lyft was the first rideshare platform with tipping built right into the app because getting tipped shouldn't depend on your passenger having a crumpled bill in their pocket. And you keep 100% of the tips, and they add up fast. Drivers have been paid more than $200 million since the feature was first introduced. And Express Pay lets you get paid almost instantly instead of waiting for weeks. Lyft has even taken the guesswork out of pickups. The new AMP device uses color coding to help passengers find their drivers. So join the ride-sharing company that believes in treating its people better. Go to Lyft.com/fantasy today, and you can get a $500 new driver bonus. That's Lyft.com/fantasy. Lyft.com/fantasy. Limited time only. Terms apply. I believe we had a combo meal over the last 3 days.
Hey, it's a combo meal!
Only one? Francisco Lindor, I believe, is the only one in the last 3 days. Maybe Kyle can confirm. How are we going to view Lindor's season if this keeps up? Has he been what you thought or a little disappointing?
I think he's been a little disappointing. Somebody had actually pointed this out with regard to the ranks, and unfortunately I think went too far the other direction and criticized him as having had a terrible season. If you look at the player rate of returns, they're not a bad year, but they are shy of what I expected. Remember, Eric, I said that Lindor was the one piece of my labor strategy I felt like I completely whiffed on. I thought he was going to be a very clear-cut top 25 guy, not elite in terms of homers, not elite in terms of steals, but better than the numbers and the pace so far.
Fair enough. Any injuries we have to discuss?
We forgot the other big trade. We got to celebrate.
What's the other big trade?
Pinstripes.
Oh, it was Sonny Gray. That happened after the deadline.
Sonny Gray.
All right, so Sonny Gray stays in the American League. You can sing your song while you want.
It's a sunny day.
You know why I forgot about it? Because it didn't change his value to me.
I know.
He goes from a pitcher's park to a hitter's one, but a better defense, more run support. Like, and what is Sonny Gray? Like, do you really unilaterally trust him?
Only the injury issue. It's kind of the Matt Cain syndrome, where he's not elite at missing bats to the point that if he's off just a little bit or less than 100%, then there's going to be an issue with regression. I think that's what happened to Cain, and Gray's always going to be subject to that. But so far, he's looked like a top 40 fantasy starter. Not better than that. Wouldn't you say it's about right?
Yeah, I agree. I just, you know, the Yankees have better pitching right now than the Red Sox. That's going to be such an interesting division down the stretch.
And bold statement considering Chris Sale's on that Red Sox rotation.
Well, I mean, Porcello, you don't know. And Sale got lit the other day. That game was crazy.
Sale plus Pfister,
I mean, he's
versus
terrible.
Severino plus Garcia.
I mean, Severino. Would you rather have Severino or Sonny Gray the rest of the year? I'd rather have Severino.
Yeah, Severino than Sonny Gray, yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Although he could have an innings cap issue, but I don't think it's going to be a major problem. I'm Severino. Severino, clearly.
I mean, Severino isn't even 24 years old. Last three starts, a 0.47 ERA, K9 of 10.9. The FIP is there. I mean, Severino's having a legit season. This is a breakout guy.
Well, in the full season context, yeah, absolutely a breakout. This is what he looked like 2 years ago, and I'm mad at myself for having let him go in my keeper league. I kept him in the bad year, and I let him go in the good year. I'm not good with Yankee pitchers.
Well, let's stay with the Yankees here and preview the weekend. Yankees-Indian, that's a big one. Gray Salazar, I think, is first up. Maybe the schedule's changing. If it has, you just let me know.
Nope, it's correct.
Jaime Garcia and Corey Kluber. This is Garcia's first outing as a Yankee, I believe, or second?
Actually, wait. Am I getting my Klubers and Salazar?
Well, they had a rain out yesterday.
Kluber got moved up to today.
Kluber's moved up. Okay. So it's not so important. You know, we don't need to discuss Corey Kluber because he's great.
Right.
But some of these other guys, Danny Salazar, are you in? Last two outings since he came, he's only been off the DL or from the minors for two starts, and 16 strikeouts in 13 innings, which, by the way, lowers his K rate for the season. He's a dominant strikeout guy. Health is the issue here. Do you like Danny Salazar here?
He's got, according to mine, I've got him on the Saturday game, and I like that bit for two reasons here. One, and Kyle points this out in the building blocks today, the Yankees are having some issues with getting on base, and they are striking out at a rate that's a little disconcerting facing guys like this. Salazar looks like he has that filthy stuff again. On board completely with the Saturday game. Kluber, I think, is going to take advantage. And I think the fact that they're going with those two with a day in between them is a good idea for that. It's going to throw the Yankees off a little bit.
Do you trust Jaime Garcia? You seem to like him more than I do.
No, I don't. As a matter of fact, I would not play Garcia and I would not play Gray in Cleveland if I'm playing in one of those
shows. You're sitting Sonny Gray.
I would.
You just told me how great he was, and now you're sitting him?
There are going to be bad matchups here to avoid. At Cleveland is one of those.
What is Mike Clevinger? Is Mike Clevinger a top 50 starting pitcher, or should he be on waivers in free agency in ESPN leagues?
Why does it have to be one or the other? Can it be in between? I think he's a streaming starter.
Well, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Just I'd like it to be because
he's not a
easier
top 50
for
guy.
Us.
He's not a top 50
not
guy.
Not a top 50 guy.
Is he for you?
No, and I mean, and that last outing looked terrible. Everybody was hitting in that series, but still, he looked terrible. Another series here to watch: Nationals Cubs. Whoa, is that Strasburg? Strasburg coming off a DL?
Supposedly coming off the DL. They haven't made a final announcement of that. They are also saying that Edwin Jackson is likely to get a start somewhere in the series.
Edwin Jackson's last outing was pretty good. Now, I'm not going to tell you that he's any good. You can't use him here, right? I mean, people shouldn't be fooled by this.
No. I'm sorry. I'm just not on board with Edwin Jackson. All credit to the good outings he's had so far, but no.
Do you start Strasburg against the Cubs right off the DL?
Yes,
and please remind people what you're like. What's your like standard rule when it comes to pitchers coming off the DL? Now, it's a little different this year because this 10-day nonsense. And Strasburg, I don't even know if he was hurt legitimately, but what's your general rule here? Does it depend on the opponent, the pitcher, the weather, what?
It depends on the length of absence most, and if there's any rehab performance in the minors that showed any change in skills, those are the times I'm going to fade the pitcher coming off the DL. Otherwise, the data shows in recent years that it is wise to start your proven starters, so I think Strasburg gets the nod here. Obviously, if you have tight starts caps this late in the year, maybe that's a case where you'd avoid it.
All right, here are two pitchers kind of available in ESPN leagues, Tanner Roark and John Lackey. Roark has had kind of an up-and-down inconsistent season, but five or fewer hits allowed in five straight starts. So something he's figured out. He had strikeouts in his last outing, and then there's John Lackey, who, I don't know, he looks kind of shot to me, but Roark versus Lackey, who would you rather use here, if either?
I don't want to use either, but if I must, I'm going to go with Roark, just because the Nationals' offense terrifies me for Lackey, who, Eric, as you said, he's been perplexing
this lacking
season.
In fantasy goodness.
He certainly is. But Roark, honestly, I think Roark's been awful the past 2 months.
Roark had a good July, so he hasn't been awful.
I don't know that I'd call it good. I mean, it's a 3.52 ERA. It's all right.
Well, for him, that's good.
Yeah, whip. Okay, the whip is just barely over one.
I mean, he's been inconsistent, and he's
three starts.
Okay, I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying I'd put him in my top 50. I'm just saying, you know, we're getting to the point of the season where people got to pick up starters, you know, during the weekend. There's injuries everywhere, and you got to make a decision on Roark, Lackey, Clevinger, or Brandon Woodruff. Who are you using?
Then it's Roark.
And it's Roark.
Then it's Roark.
Brandon Woodruff is starting for Milwaukee at Tampa. He's a guy who's got good minor league numbers, a little under the radar, not really a top prospect, but
he's probably starting that game.
He's probably interesting.
The Brewers are thank you, Brewers, for not telling me about Garza's retroactive date so that I knew that he'd be eligible to pitch today. That's why I don't trust what the Brewers tell me on starters.
Teams do this just to anger you, Tristan, because they know that you have a comprehensive forecaster and you have to update it 18 times per day. So
I feel like I have to this year with a 10-day DL. Oh, man.
So we're running out of time in the first half. We should note the Sunday night game is on ESPN, 8 p.m. Eastern. The Dodgers and the Mets, Hyunjin Ryu and Steven Matz, who really hasn't pitched very well. And look,
who do you want?
It's got to be Ryu, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Ryu.
I mean, Matt's, when's the last time Matt's even had a quality start? I mean, I've been looking him up for his last two outings ago, because he just pitched the Coors, and there's no way you'd use him there. But he's not even pitching well, which tells me probably he's hurt, and I don't know how the Mets can keep, like, they just don't have any other options, I suppose. But at some point, you just got to shut him down.
I got your answer. The last time Steven Matz had a quality start was on July 3rd, and guess where it was?
At home against the Dodgers.
At Washington.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
But I know, poking holes in all my theories here.
Look, I mean, I understand Steven Matz should be really, like, we only thought the only option for him would either be he'd be hurt or pitching well. Well, there's another option. All right, let's ask each of you. There's a lot of pitchers we did not mention for the next 4 days. So I'll start with you, Kyle. Name a pitcher or two, name a hitter or two that you're keeping an eye on. Not somebody who's owned in every league or zero leagues, but somebody in between that you might want to pick up, and the performance might adjust how we view them. Can you name a pitcher or two and a hitter or two?
Yeah, I'll go with the hitters. I think you can just stack Tigers. I know this is kind of getting old and just targeting the Orioles, but they're pitching at home. They got a 4.98 ERA. It's second worst in the big league. So I'm looking at, like, Matuk, Iglesias, Castaneves. I think you can really find some value in the Tigers. I mean, they've scored the third most runs since the All-Star break. And they're not super heavily owned. I mean, you've got the Stars that are owned. You've got Kinsler's owned. You've got Cabrera. But, I mean, four games in Baltimore, am I crazy to think they score over 20 runs?
And my building block today is a guy like nobody would ever think of, Jim Adducci, who's been batting second.
Yeah.
And Chris Tillman's got a whip of two. I you know what I try to do now, and I've had, look, it's minor, but I've had some success in our office DFS pool, because what I've been doing is I've been trying to find, like, hitters batting 1-2 in the order who are, like, really, really cheap. And as long as they're batting 1 or 2 in the order, I'll take a chance, and hopefully they'll do something. But it's such a low investment, I would use Adducci. Just to, you know, all he needs to do is like 7 points, and like it matters, you know, like I'm going to have high cost pitching anyway. Tristan, give me a name or two on the pitcher side or on the hitter side, and let's see if we can.
Okay, so the watch guy, I'm not giving the okay to start here, is I want to see the Tyler Skaggs outing this weekend against Oakland. He's coming off the DL. There could be some utility in him in the upcoming weeks, but do not start him for this. The guy I will start is Brad Peacock, going back to the rotation, likely cutting a lot of leagues based on the fact he was bumped when Dallas Keuchel had come back from the Astros rotation, but lots of strikeouts. I like him going up here against the righty-heavy Toronto lineup, home game for him, so that's the one I would look for a streaming option. And hitters, let's go Phillies. Yeah. They've got the game here.
I don't think you mean that.
they've got the Coors games coming up this weekend. I don't think anybody's going to be on board based on the fact they've disappointed so far in LA, but they look good at home. Eric, you and I both know this. And they have players readily available. Cesar Hernandez looking all right. Odubel Herrera looking all right. Daniel Nava just came off the DL. If I'm checking the lineups in DFS, you don't think he'll get even a single start?
He might get a single start, but I mean, he's not supposed to play. They have their outfield. Nick Williams is the other outfielder there. So
they've been at some day-to-day guys recently.
Sure.
It's a lot of homework, but I think there's some value, especially in your daily games.
By the way, have you the two promotions since we last talked? We probably should mention them. Ahmed Rosario of the Mets, Ozzie Albies of the Braves. Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Ozzie Albies because I know what his role is, and I feel more comfortable in the steals, which is the thing that I think you can cling to with these debuting prospects.
Would you rather have him than Whit Merrifield?
No, Merrifield's been very good. Very,
would you
very
rather
good.
Have him than Paul DeJong, who's kind of stopping to hit?
Yes, I would. Now, again, that's a needs, but yeah.
Would you rather have him than? No, I can't make that claim.
Kevin actually asked on Twitter, do you want Ozzie or Cameron Maybin the rest of the way if you're chasing steals?
I don't know when Maven's coming back, so yeah. It's got to be Albies.
It's got to be Albies.
Got to be Albies. And by the way, so I was totally caught off guard by Albies. In a league that you and I are in together, Tristan, I traded Albies for Gio Gonzalez. There's salary things that make
it
sense.
Yes, I saw that.
I made that trade while Gio Gonzalez was no-hitting somebody on Monday and while not knowing that Albies was getting called up the next day.
Yeah.
And the other owner probably did know, and it didn't matter to him on Gonzalez. I wouldn't have gotten Gonzalez's stats that night. But did I make a mistake trading Albies? This is a points league keeper.
Yeah, you're competitive in that league, though. So if you're making that move to
I
add another
arm. I need
the
starting
arm,
pitching badly.
Gonzalez has been very good. He's really only had, I think, that brief blip.
I think he's in the top 10 on the player radar.
He probably is.
For starting pitchers, which
he's
is
really
shocking.
Had what? It was a 3-4 start stint where he was so-so, and the rest of the year he's been outstanding.
He's been absolutely outstanding. And you know what else is outstanding, everybody? Blue Apron is outstanding. It's the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. It achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with more than 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. As a result, seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork, I like that, come from responsibly raised animals, and produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they are reducing food waste. Cooking together builds strong family bonds, and research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly 3 times more often. And those who spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. And some of these great upcoming meals: basil pesto chicken with summer vegetable panzanella. You getting hungry, Tristan? Sautéed shrimp and green beans with globe tomatoes, spinach, and orzo pasta. And whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomato caprese salad. It's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you'll never get bored. Customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. Blue Apron has several delivery options, so you can choose what fits your needs, and there's no weekly commitment. So you only get deliveries when you want them, and each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients, and can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And Blue Apron's freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFB. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/FFB. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Now, why didn't we just take that break to go get sandwiches or something? I'm hungry, yeah.
Same here, Tristan. Same here.
I know. Let's pause.
Pause after a break? That's a bold strategy.
Just play the music. We'll all get lunch.
Yep.
We're fine.
People like the music.
I've got a bone to pick with you guys throwing Francisco Lindor under the bus here.
I didn't say a word, so
I
don't know what
under the bus.
Well, I mean, you're saying he's a little disappointing. How many times over the last 5 years do you think we've had a shortstop hit 20 homers, steal 10 bases, and hit 275?
Hit 20 homers, steal 10 bases, and hit 275?
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, I mean, that's
how many times over what period?
Last 5 years.
I feel like that's happened more than you think.
I wouldn't be asking if that was the case.
He knows
really?
The answer, Tristan.
Right,
okay, come
us.
On.
Tell us.
It's only happened 3 times. And I mean.
3 times? Yeah. Okay, who had him?
Gene Segura, Xander, and Correa.
This is all based on expectations. He's the number 9 shortstop on the player radar. So the reason why he's asking that, and the reason why Tristan feels the way he does, and they're both right, I think, is we expected a little bit more. It's like Correa from last year. We expected a little bit more, and he didn't quite deliver. Lindor's having a good year. He's certainly helping people.
Yeah.
But look who's been more valuable on the player radar, and it's hard to believe. Marwin Gonzalez, Eduardo Nunez, and Drelton Simmons is the number 4 shortstop for the season on the player radar.
He's been great. Yeah.
So, I mean, amazing. This is why. And you know what's amazing? Trey Turner's still number 2. When's the last time he played? He didn't play in July, right?
Yeah. Well, did he in the very beginning? I think it was at the
point
beginning.
Is he did so much early in the season that he's still the number 1 shortstop is Elvis Andrus, who I just moved into my top 40.
Lindor disappoints because I really thought he'd get to 30 stolen bases. The stolen base metrics were a lot more positive than he had shown in the first 2 years.
Nobody wants to run anymore, Tristan. That's the problem.
And all the other metrics with the bat are showing better pop. So it's like he's traded it completely. This is a whole change in approach. I hate that.
Korea,
well, I love it.
And
I hate it.
Korea has 0 steals. Carlos Correa, 0. Nary a steal.
Manny Machado.
All right.
Nary a steal.
Of this year?
We're not nary a question. We got plenty of questions from the people on Twitter. Andrew says, if you're not worried about victories, do you prefer Aaron Nola or Jake Arrieta the rest of the way? Arrieta, 2.08 ERA over the last month. Nola's been even better with a 1.56.
I'll say this about Nola. It all looks legit. A lot of strikeouts, A lot of consistency. Location much better than it was earlier in the season. Aaron Nola is legit, and I think he's got to be considered a top 30 starting pitcher at this point. But I can't put him ahead of Arrieta. And it's not only because of wins. But, I mean, Arrieta's still my top 20. I assume he's in yours.
He still is, yes. It's all the injury reputation with Nola. And there's a little bit of do the Phillies monitor the innings with him? I don't know who else they throw in there for him, to be honest.
No, they actually do. I mean, they've got three guys at AAA Lehigh Valley who are all candidates to replace Jake Thompson. So
no, Ben Lively's one, isn't
Lively
he?
And Eflin, and you know, they maybe Liebrand, I think, if he's healthy. I mean, they've got some guys that they want to take a look at. I wouldn't be surprised if Nola and Velasquez are shut down by mid-September, sure.
Yeah, I'd go Arrieta as well.
I think you have to take Arrieta. It's a team playing for a playoff spot, a little more proven. I would take him.
Take Arrieta, but buying on Nola. So
it looks legit what Nola's doing.
Yeah. Yes.
That's all optimistic then. All right, we've got Nick has Justin Bour on the DL, not resuming baseball activities for another 3 weeks, been slashing .600 since the first month. Is he worth holding on to in an ESPN Standard League?
In a general sense, Tristan, if there's 2 months left of the season and a guy is missing one of them, unless it's Kershaw, I'm probably moving on.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely hate that update that just came. I think it was yesterday, Kyle? Or no, it was Tuesday. And the Marlins have no reason to rush him.
He may not play again this season. And, man, it was a really good season for him. And this will be the third consecutive truncated season due to injury for Justin Bour.
Mm.
And if, you know, this could be a 30, this should be a 30 home run hitter. He has 21 homers in 87 games. I have him in a sim league where I need the numbers from the prior year. He's only going to give me 400 at bats.
But it's nice in that because you can mix and match first base.
Yeah.
It's so easy to do it.
I understand that, but yeah, I would move on. And let's give him some first baseman here that we would talk up, I suppose. I mean, look, it's such an easy position to find somebody, right? I mean, like, we didn't expect it would be like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this season with Smoke and Morrison and Alonso, would you drop him right now for Dominic Smith, who could be called up any day, right?
I think he'll be called up this month.
Or would you drop him for Stephen Pierce?
I own Bour and Tout NL. There's no chance I would make this swap because it's too important. I mean, I'd find another way to get Smith on my roster, and I think he's already owned. But in NL-only context, you've got to keep Bour around on the hope he gives you that power in September for even 3 weeks. If it's an ESPN standard, yeah, get the proximity of numbers.
You like Steve Pearce in an ESPN standard? First base outfield? He's got three homers in the last week, two of them walk-off grand slams.
Yeah, that first guy to ever do that in a week. Three guys have done it twice in a year, and he's the third. The only problem I have with Steve Pierce is how he does fit the mold of the platoon man, and picking up Aoki in Toronto is not a plus for him in terms of getting a volume of starts.
We haven't discussed what Atlanta's doing with their infield. Brandon Phillips is playing third. That'll add eligibility. There's two eligibility. Well, it's only. I mean, Freddie Freeman played 16 games at third base. He needs four more to be eligible next season at third base, which I think really matters. Although he's still going to be a second-round pick anyway, so does it matter? The other one is Rizzo, who's still stuck on nine games a second.
First and third is a nice little benefit based on the depth of the two positions.
But would you really draft him any earlier next year if he was eligible at third base?
No. Well, he's already going to be a first two-rounds pick anyway, so I don't think it's really going to matter in terms of position eligibility. It's just a nice little feature because it frees you up for draft flexibility later. But I don't know. Is he getting to 20? I think the only way he's getting there now is if Matt Adams is just a train wreck in the outfield.
Matt Adams, by the way, I wonder if they use ZipRecruiter on him. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? I think the Braves might have done that with the Cardinals. They were like, where do we get a first baseman to fill in for Freeman? With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. I'm reading a lot, so I'm getting a little bit crazy. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is just different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, more than 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. And find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, listeners to this fine show can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free! Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Carabel, and I assure you I had nothing to do with that. You think, like, baseball teams, like, would actually do that? Like, I'm not getting into it. Kyle, you talk. I'm taking a drink of water.
I think that's the highest regard of respect, the highest showing of respect to have your name in there like that. All right, Jacob.
We have a better chance of spelling his name properly than someone else on the show.
By the way, spell my name correctly. It's B-E-R-R-Y. First name is Matt.
I don't think that's going to work for ZipRecruiter.
Right.
You're more than welcome to try.
Do they have that on the football show?
They have ZipRecruiter.
Is Matthew's name the...
I don't think Barry's... I think it's 06010.
Really?
See, it's an honor there.
See? I am honored.
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
You're a brand
that?
Now.
Oh, yeah, now. It's about time.
The E in ESPN.
Where is the Carabel bobblehead? I want one. I'm putting it on my desk right over here. We got to get one made. Come on. What do you say?
I'll talk to the people, see if we got bobblehead making people up here in Bristol, Connecticut.
I want one.
I'm sure you do.
All right, Jacob. He was asking on Twitter before we got carried away with some nonsense here. He's worried about the catcher position.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, and that's kind of the point here. He says if you don't have an elite guy, there's issues. Where do you draw the line to where it would just be better to go with a goose egg at the position and stream pitchers? He's got guys like McCann, Schwarber, and Martin as his top available options. Is he better off rostering one of them or streaming the best available pitcher?
I got issues, and you got them too. Oh, man. Catcher.
I mean, look, there's – how many guys would you say are must-own catchers, Tristan? Like, obviously, Posey, Sal Perez, Wilson Contreras, Gary Sanchez, Real Muto.
I thought you were going to skip Gary Sanchez.
Molina.
Don't give me a heart
attack.
Molina,
who homered twice last night, safe batting average. That's, what, six guys? I'd say those are the only six guys. Like, do you have to own Evan Gattis or Grandal? I guess you should, but – like, Tyler Flowers has just as much value, and nobody owns him.
The lack of promise of everyday at-bats for guys like Grandal and Gattis keeps them beneath the names you just mentioned. Molina gets the advantage because you know he will play all the time.
If you ask him, he's playing all the time, but manager, not so much on board with that.
The guy I'm very close to calling, I hate using must for it, and especially with this guy, is Mike Zunino. I'm getting close.
Do you know who... Let me name you a couple of top 10 catchers over the last 30 days. Kurt Suzuki is number four. Russell Martin, who now has third base eligibility. Oh, I learned something new today. It's about time I learned something on this show.
He picked it up a couple days ago, I think.
Yeah. And Hector Sanchez, just edging out Christian Vasquez for the number 10 spot.
Vasquez.
Those are your top 10 catchers for the past month. Hector Sanchez, Cameron Rupp, Kurt Suzuki is the number four catcher over the last month. Over Posey.
Next
How's
year,
that even possible?
And next year, catcher strategy is going to be pretty tricky as
Why
a result
that?
Of this. Think of it like that. If we're naming six musts, and let's say you're in a 12-team league that starts two of them, a quarter of your starting catchers in that league are the ones we trust.
I don't know why anybody in a 10-team standard ESPN where you only need one catcher would take any catcher early, even Posey. Who almost, I don't even think he ever finishes as the number one catcher. Like, he's done it twice, maybe, in his career. Someone always beats him out. Like, he's good. He's fantastic. He's consistent. He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't justify taking any catcher in the first five rounds. And I'm not sure I'd ever take a catch in the first 15.
Except that I think that that's unique now to the ESPN standard 10-team format. I think anything that's getting larger than that, it's now making it important to address catcher. Not overspend for one.
Not overspend. I mean, of course I would take Posey around 9. I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't take him. I don't want to take a guy like that early. Posey's great. Is he that much better than every other catcher with 11 home runs and 47 RBI this season? I think, without looking, that Kurt Suzuki has the same home run, has more home runs. Kurt Suzuki has more home runs than Buster Posey this year.
The point of taking Posey is the consistency.
Right, you don't have to worry about catcher, but if you want to do a little bit of work, you can keep, you know, using Manny Pena and Tyler Flowers types and fake it through a season and get you almost as much value.
I think it's tougher in the two-catcher league to do that, though.
Yeah, totally different in two-catcher or AL or NL only. I'll give you that.
I'd love to hear who the last three catchers starting in labor and LR.
You know, my two catchers are the Phillies catchers. I thought that would be
That's
fine.
Fair.
Rupp has actually been better of late, and the other guy, Knapp, isn't killing me. So, I mean, that's. I mean, I'm not bidding on LaCroix. I guess I shouldn't say that because other people.
You're getting Darvish.
I might.
You're getting Darvish. You have the top bid.
I know Steve listens once in a while to this show. Maybe he doesn't anymore. But I'm telling you, I look every day to make sure that nobody has more money than I do because. Isn't there a rule that if somebody goes out on the 60-day DL, you can replace them or goes out for the year?
Yeah, it passed. That was the All-Star break. The deadline's passed.
All right.
Yeah, you're good. You're golden. You got new Darvish. You can blame me if I'm wrong on Sunday. If you don't bid the right amount, though, it's not my fault.
I know exactly what to bid. All right,
what does Steve have? What do you have?
Oh, I have a lot more. I have to bid $88.
Okay. Yeah, and you should. Darvish is worth it.
And I will, and then it'll leave me for like $2 for the rest of the year, but... You got to go for it.
You got a shot?
I have a shot. I have a chance.
Nice. Good luck.
I'm actually in first, but I have a chance. Ooh. But it kind of goes back and forth every other day. There's a couple other teams right there. I would love to win that league.
Yeah.
It's so close.
I know.
I know AJ makes fun of me and probably thinks I'm egotistical when I talk about it and arrogant. But like, I would like to win that league. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. I'm just trying to be competitive. All right. What's next?
Sounds like Eric's pretty much treating catchers like quarterbacks in football.
I was going to say that 10 minutes ago.
Quarterback is so much deeper than catcher.
Well, no, but at some point, like 7 to 17 are all kind of the same.
That's the point.
Yeah, but they're like terrible, and in football, 7 to 17 are very good.
Understood. The drafting idea, I guess, or how you value them.
Or so I'm told. I've never heard of this football thing.
No, of course not. We've got one more question, but before that, wanted to clarify your trade deadline. It is... The first Friday of August is the trade deadline. All trades must be accepted before that point. So technically, the trade deadline would be 11:59 tonight if you didn't adjust the settings. So that would be the default setting.
Really?
That's what I'm told.
Got to get the approval process in or something. There's the voting thing for certain leagues, right?
Right.
So it's all right. So it's basically today.
Just don't take your chances. Yeah. Just get them in by tonight, by midnight. Just get them in.
Okay.
The last question was Nathan wanted to know about Josh Hader. Are the Brewers ever going to move him to the rotation? Opponents have just 8 hits and 65 at-bats against him.
They're not doing it this year.
They were. Why isn't he up Saturday?
Yeah, he's not starting this season, Josh Hader. He's a really good dynasty option, don't you think? I mean, isn't he up there with like Honeywell and Giolito and these other guys? I mean, that's a major strikeout option. Or do you think he's going to get dumped in the bullpen again?
I actually think he contrasts very nicely with Honeywell and that they're sort of opposite in the skill sets. I think that Hader's K potential is fantastic. And Honeywell, that might be the one area he disappoints. I'm with you, Eric. The only big issues I have with him is the control's been a little spotty and he's a little bit of a fly ball type. But good arm. Good arm.
Sometimes our control is a little bit spotty. By the way, fantasy football season is here, folks. On behalf of ESPN, we are here to make sure you know the difference between bad fantasy and good fantasy. Bad fantasy is drafting a kicker or defense too soon. Good fantasy is going into the season with the best tools and analysis you need to draft the best team. Bad fantasy is leaving your best player in the starting lineup when he has a bye week. Good fantasy is having alerts from the fantasy app and Matthew Berry as your personal consultant. So play the number one fantasy football game on the number one fantasy app because good fantasy is better than bad fantasy. ESPN Fantasy Football. Sign up now at ESPN.com/good fantasy.
By the way, do you know bad pitching happened 30 years ago today?
What?
Bad pitching. I love it. Today? 30th anniversary. One of the funniest incidents I can recall.
What was that?
Kyle knows it, I think. It's on his list.
Kyle wasn't even close to being born.
I know, yes. Joe Niekro with the
nail file.
Yep, the emery board in the pocket.
That's not for the record, I was close to being bored when that happened. I wasn't, but it was close.
Friday's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, and I intend to celebrate with a whole cookie.
Is that going to take you 3 or 4 hours to eat?
Saturday's National Underwear Day, so I will wear that on Saturday.
About time.
Look, this is what you're going to do to us. What do you expect us to be by the end of the show? I mean, really?
Oh, boy.
Any final thoughts, Tristan? Please, give me some final thoughts.
we buried the food leads on National Watermelon Day.
Okay.
The best summer food there is. I don't care what anybody says. That's the indication of summer is watermelon to me.
Hot dogs. Hot dogs and burgers on the grill.
Okay. Yeah. Leo's going to agree with you only if you call a hot dog a sandwich.
No! By the way.
You got to put mustard on it, Tristan.
Leo, is a fish taco a sandwich?
Yes.
No.
Absolutely.
Come on. No.
Absolutely.
Absolutely not. I found this on a menu last week. I couldn't believe it. It is not a sandwich.
That's Leo Howell. Got to deal with us now, unfortunately.
Leo, you've got hot dogs and fish tacos as sandwiches.
I think a cookie's a sandwich.
The penalty for that is Alex Wood in that league. Oops, did I say that?
Yeah, that was another league you guys didn't invite me to. We're done for the week. Our two shows are over. I think we have another one coming up Monday. Kyle, can you confirm that?
Monday confirmed. I'll be sending out for questions Sunday night, so make sure hashtag 06010MLB.
And that is our plan for the final 2 months of the season. And so thank you so much for listening to our fine little show. I'm Eric. He's Tristan. For Kyle and Mike and Leo and everybody who makes this show so great, have an awesome weekend.
Everything is awesome. Cookies. Nom, 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 nom.